I'll be referring this morning, and that way you will have them from the King James Version, that when I refer to them, then you won't need to, those that are on your, there's two pages of them, you will need not to read through your Bible. You can look on the pages there this morning. This morning we would like to call to your attention what the world is seeking. And the world is looking for and seeking for to see a Christian. That's what they want to see, something that is what we say that it is. In John's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 20, that's our text this morning, we see, and there were certain Greeks among them which came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Now here were these Gentiles who were coming to the Jews' worship feast at Jerusalem, and they were looking for something. People in the world today are looking for something, and they said the right thing for the person for whom they were looking. Sir, we would see Jesus. Now in Acts chapter 17 and verse 23, that's on your paper there, you can see when the Apostle Paul was at Mars Hill, he came up on a group of men who were worshiping the unknown God. But he said to them, I want to make him known to you. You're ignorantly worshiping the one. I want to declare him unto you. And when we look in John's Gospel chapter 17 and verse 3, it tells us, and this is life eternal, that they might know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, through whom he sent. This is eternal life, that you might know God. And so this is what we want people to see today, that they might know God. Now, these people came in John's Gospel chapter 12, and they said, Sir, we would see Jesus. So Philip cometh to Andrew, and again Andrew tells, and they came and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now let's look at his answer. And let's look at it very close. Very closely shall we examine the answer of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 24, he says, Truly, truly, I say unto you, now, what is the next word? You all have it on your sheet. Except. Now, so it means that there's no other possibility. Isn't that right? Truly, truly, I say unto you, except. There's no other way. There's no other means. There's no other manner. It must be except. Now let's look and see what the Lord Jesus is saying to you, to these people. And I know the primary interpretation of this is the death of the Lord Jesus, but I'm taking it in a secondary application this morning to you and to me. And many commentators, more bright than I, say that it can and should be done that way. So we see here what the Lord Jesus is saying. He says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except what? A corn of what? And the wheat in the Bible is spoken of as who? Believers. The tares are the unbelievers, right? That's what's speaking. So, now listen. Unless a corn of wheat, a believer, now what's the next word? And it says, unless a corn of wheat fall on the ground. Is that what it says? It doesn't say on the ground. So, if we're going to be like this, if we're going to be like this bean, we can be a Christian. But if we're going to be like that bean and never drop into the ground, we're going to buy a house. A loan. We're going to buy a loan. Now, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord Jesus Christ hadn't come and had not died, then he would have still been the Lord Jesus Christ, but you and I would have never been this. You and I would have never been that had the Lord Jesus Christ, because he would have abided alone. And the problem today with Christians, the majority of Christians, the majority of professing Christians at the Corinth Bible Chapel is that they're abiding alone. We're not dying to self.
Now listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says here. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and what? And die.
When that corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it must burst open. There's no way for that bean to become this unless it falls into the good ground and bursts open. It must be broken of itself. It must be broken of the things that it desires. It can be, yes, you can be a Christian. If you're born again, you're a there. But the Lord does not want us to abide alone. Paul tells us he wants us to be in unity. And so if there's unity, there must be more than one."
So here the Lord Jesus is saying this. Paul, in other translations, have it dropped. We must fall into the ground and die. Dying to self, or there'll never be any fruit. That's what he says. We drop into the ground. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, you needn't turn there. I'll turn and read it for you. In Matthew 13 and 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field." Now look at verse 30, and it says, speaking about the other seed, "Let them both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together the first, the tares, and bind them in bundles and burn them, and gather the wheat into my barn." The wheat is the thing that is the Christian, and we need to see this. Now on your sheet, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9, "Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin." Now the part of you that is born of God does not commit sin. If you're born again with that born with that life from above, that part of you does not commit sin. Well then what are we talking about? Abiding alone.
Abiding alone. It's because we're content to live in the circumstance that we are, and we don't care whether anybody else gets the fruit of what we have here. We don't care in the least. We don't. Now this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. Now listen, Phil. Now listen, Andrew. No one will ever see me in you unless you do what I say. No one will ever see the Lord Jesus Christ in any of us as a Christian except we fall into the ground and die.
There's not going to be any fruit whatsoever. Now listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said. "It abideth alone." It abideth alone. And you have the example in Ephesians. Let's look, I'll turn there real quick because we don't have time. Ephesians 3 and 17. We see these words of the Apostle Paul, and he says here, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be being rooted and grounded in love." And then back to Colossians 2 and 6, I'll read that for you real quick, 6 and 7. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving."
Now, he's saying that when this dies, then what becomes? What do you get? You get some what, though, right here? Roots! We have to get some roots. And for these roots to come, become this, it must be cultivated. It must be taken care of. It must be dusted. It must be hoed. And these are the things that we're not doing in the Word of God. We're not looking into the Word of God.
He says, being rooted and grounded in love. And we're not being rooted the way that he wants us to be. So if we're going to be this way, yes, we can abide like that bean. We can abide alone. But what good are we? What good are we?
And then even after we get a few roots, if it is cultivated, what good is this? You have a bean here, and this is up, you have the leaves on a bean. What good are the leaves on a bean? None whatsoever. And see, that we're not going far enough. We need to be rooted and grounded, and we need to bring forth fruit, more fruit, much fruit. That's what God wants each and every one of us to do.
And the Lord Jesus Christ said this, and he says, "For others to be seen in me, he must, for others to see him, he must be seen in me as a Christian." God the Son must be seen in me. And for him to be seen in me, there must be a death. There must be a death to self. Not Christ's death, but my death. But it's not Christ's desire that we abide alone. In John chapter 15, well, I'm right there in verse 14, the Lord Jesus says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Are we? Greater love has this than no, he says, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. So we need to see this. We need fruit. We need much fruit. We need more fruit. In John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges, that it bring forth more fruit. And then he says in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in he, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without him you can do nothing. And until you die to self, you can't abide in the Lord Jesus and bring forth fruit. He said it himself. He said it. You cannot do it. You cannot bring fruit by yourself. I'd like for you to go out here in your garden and say, I'm going to plant some seeds. Just dig a hole, don't put anything in it, and I'd like to see you get some seeds. That's what we're doing in Scripture. We're not doing what God said. We are not willing to die to self and fall in the ground. I have too many other things to do. I have this to do. I have my home to contend with. I have my husband that I have to please. I have this. I have that. And this and that. And the Lord Jesus Christ, you think more of things than you do of me. And people will never see Christians in you as God wants us to be seen. He wants us to be seen as a Christian. And a Christian is Christ in me. And that should be my hope of glory. But how does the Lord Jesus want us to be? He tells us in John chapter 4 and verse 14, you have it on your paper, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up or springing out to everlasting life, springing out to others. You see, if we remain like this, what good are we? But when we get like this, we're good. People can feast on the leaves. We need to be feasted upon the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to look unto Him and realize that we cannot have other people to be seen in us until we die to self. Being fruitful can be seen. Colossians 1 and 10. And there we read, that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in knowledge. Being fruitful in all good work. And then the Lord Jesus Christ himself says in Matthew's Gospel 7 and 16, these are on your paper, ye shall know them by their what?
If you're going to know that this is a green, good beans or green beans or whatever you want to call them, different names, different places, but you're going to know that that's a green bean by its what? By the fruit, by the green bean that it produces. So we must, you see, we must be producing for others to see it.
And we're not doing that. We do no fruit except through the Holy Spirit of God. And that's where the innermost part of man is where the Holy Spirit dwells with our spirit. And from there, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and so forth, it tells us that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is first what? Love.
And so, if you're going to abide alone, can you have much love? You don't have much love. You have love here, more love, and much love. And that's what we need. We need to realize what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to us as Christians. It is a tremendous responsibility to become a Christian. The Lord said in Luke's Gospel, count the cost. But we don't want to count the cost. We just say we're have a fire escape from hell. Listen, my friend, I don't know whether, if you feel that way, whether you really have a fire escape from hell, whether you're even in this condition to abide alone.
You must realize that you must be born again. You must have within you the Holy Spirit of God. God desires fruit. And the soul, now listen to me, the soul's desires and the flesh desires, or the appetite of the flesh, are the hindrances. We are living in the desire to please our soul. That's the thing that had to be saved. And that's the old man is supposed to have died on the cross of Calvary. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, and verse 8 and 9, Philip saith unto the Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Now listen to what the Lord Jesus said, and we can make it applicable unto us today. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me? So, listen, could the people around us say that to us, that we've been with the Lord Jesus Christ so long, and they don't know it? Did he say that? Could people say that to us? Your life doesn't show it. I was with a man once visiting, and we visited a certain person in town. He's a millionaire. And he said to the other person, he said, I didn't know you were a Christian. And I thought, oh, he had folks, nothing ever heard of him. He's a Christian for all the time. He wasn't a Christian. He just thought that for not knowing you were a Christian. So, you see, it's so, so important. That's the only means, listen to me, the only means that God has of preaching the gospel is you and I. We are the only means. I am the only way for me to preach the gospel. You are the only way for you to preach the gospel, and God has chosen that. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So there's no fruit except through the Holy Spirit. So, they requested to see the Lord Jesus, and the answer was, in verse 9, the Lord Jesus said unto them, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me? How long have we been with people, and they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ by our lives? When you die to self, things seem different. They seem a lot different. About 17 years after that, Paul had confirmed Peter to the faith, in the Church of the Gauls, after he confronted him because he was wrong, Peter made the statement that the beloved apostle Paul, and that's on your paper there, our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, had written unto you. He said that he was a beloved brother. He changed his mind. He saw what was in Paul. He saw Christ in Paul. And this is something that we have to see in each other. We have to see this, and it has to be there. And if we're going to produce anything, if it's going to be fruit, if these seats are going to be filled with Christians, then we cannot abide alone. We cannot abide alone. We can be this way and be a Christian, but that's all we'll ever be. That's all we'll ever be. But do we want to hear that? Do we want to hear what God has to say to us? These Greeks wanted to see Jesus. And the Lord Jesus, we don't have any record here. Some commentators say that he showed himself to these Greeks, but my Bible doesn't say it, so I'll go by what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say that he showed himself. He wanted Peter and Andrew to show him. He wanted Peter and Andrew to show these people Christ. And that's what, because he's going back to heaven. He's there in the glory. And he wants to be seen in you and me. My son used to sing a tremendous solo, May He Be Seen in Me. Oh, what a beautiful solo it is, and I wish that he were here this morning to sing it to us. May He Be Seen in Me. And that's what the world needs. Yes, that person is saved, but still in the shell. In the book of Romans, you have in Romans 6, 10 and 11. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, in another translation, it goes this way, that you might be able to comprehend it a little bit better. The death he died was once for all to sin. But the life he lived unto God. Now listen, similarly, let us consider ourselves as actually dead to sin, but in Christ Jesus alive to God. We're alive to God. We belong to Him. That seed is His.
That is the incorruptible thing. But He does not want us to abide alone. He wants that incorruptible seed to become fruit. He wants us to be fruitful for Him in everything and in every good work.
We must die to self or abide alone. Look at Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin.
Now listen, if God wants us to be fruitful, and we're this way, are we not serving sin as a Christian? Doesn't it say there that a Christian can do that? It says that. But if we're just abiding this way, are we, you see, so many things, we think it has to be murder, adultery, cheating, lying, all those things to be sin. If we're not doing what God says, it is sin. That which is not of faith is sin.
That's what the Bible says. He that doubteth. You see, we know that that is a sin. So we must see this. We must die to self or abide alone. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, it tells us there, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. You know why?
You know why? Because Eli, and in that particular situation, he didn't even know when the Lord was calling him to say, go lay down again. And so are we as priests? We're all priests. We're all priests if we're born again. Are we abiding alone? Is there no open vision? Can people not see us?
Go lay down. When someone wants to hear about the Lord, go back and lay down. And you know what happened to Eli's sons? Because they were not trained right and raised right. So, you see, and Eli himself. So we must show forth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 16. Oh, what a privilege it is to come to the Lord's Supper.
But it tells us there, every time we do it, we show forth.
Now listen, let's look there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. Now look at it. For as often as, what's the next word? For as often as ye, that's you, eat this bread and drink this cup, what's the next word? Ye do show forth the Lord's death till he comes.
As the Lord's Supper, do you see that? Do you see that in some of the brethren that can show forth the Lord's death? Oh, can you see that?
That show forth the Lord's death, he wants that to be all of us.
He doesn't want us to come to the Lord's Supper and be like this. He wants us to come to be like that. He wants to see that fruit.
He wants the others to see that fruit. He wants us to understand this, that we must die to self or abide alone. Again, in John 12 and 21, sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, may he be seen in me. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26 and verse 13, where the lady, I believe it was Mary, I think John 11 and 2 verifies that, but it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her.
She was seen as wanting to prepare Jesus for his burial. And Jesus said, wherever this gospel is preached, it will be a memorial for her.
The fruit of Mary. The fruit because she was willing to take that which was expensive to her. She was willing to, it was costly, but she was expecting something from it. She was expecting to help prepare the Lord Jesus for his burial, and it was not haphazard. She took the most costly ointment, and she put it upon him. Now listen, unless you're willing to take the most costly path, and to consider the Lord Jesus' way and not your own way, and then there's not going to be any fruit in your life. That's the reason that we're not growing in Florence Bible Chapel, is because there is no fruit seen in our lives. Look at the empty seats around you this morning. In our phone book, there's about 106 people. You can count about 35 here this morning. Where are the rest? Well, the most glorious thing in a Christian's life should be to gather around the Lord Jesus Christ, and the way you gather around Him is to be with other Christians. Gathering around Him, together, one with another, brotherly love. Therefore, we know we have passed from death unto life because we don't gather with a brother.
Did I quote that right? Therefore, we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brother.
Every time that we gather, that the doors of this place are open, I make no apologies for it. It's a place we gather around the Lord Jesus Christ, and everyone that associates himself or herself with this place should be here, not just Sunday morning. And if that's the case, then we should close it up. We should close it up, because all we're doing is abiding alone. First, when we get to this point, there's no call to make. He doesn't get to this point, or this point, or this point. This is an assembly. This is not a place of one person. This is an assembly. And an assembly is a called out ecclesia, called out unto the Lord. And we need to see just how wonderful that is, and that we'll never see it until we die to sin. And that the Lord Jesus Christ may be seen in me. The purpose for all this. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It's on your paper, I believe. Maybe it isn't. But Acts chapter 1 verse 8. I'll go there real quick. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are His words. These are His desires. And He says, but ye shall receive what? Power. Now it takes power for this to be broken open. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. We must let the Holy Spirit live that life through us. People say, well, I'll be a bean and I'll grow. You cannot any more than this bean can be growing into this unless it's broken open. And it must be through the power of the Holy Spirit living through us. You cannot live the Christian life. Quit trying it. You can't do it for 13 seconds. You must let that power of the Holy Spirit come through you before you can be this. And this must be cultivated before it can become this. This must be pruned and must be taken care of before it can become this. And this must have all the care and the good soil and the good ground and the care before it can become much good. That's what we need. That's what we have to have. And it is each and every one of us is to be a gardener. Each and every one of us, because we have the fruit, we have the seed. Now we must read this carefully. After you receive power, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Now,
is this being that much of a witness? That much of a witness? See, this is a fruit hanging off. Oh, how nice it looks. The ladies together, and they can tan them, and we have them, they're tan, and the winter was real cold, and we still have it with. And then when the winter time is gone, it can become a circle again, never ending. Much fruit. That's what the Lord wants. He wants us to be fruit bearers. And He says, by their fruit, we shall know them. Now, it's not emotion. We're not talking about getting emotional. We're talking about facts. It's not knowledge. It's God's wisdom. God's wisdom. In Proverbs 1 and 7. The writer of the Proverbs says there, and how important it is, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's how you become wise, when we fear the Lord. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now listen.
Fools despise wisdom and instruction. That is, what is the purpose of this being? Be planted, isn't it? That's the only purpose of that being, is to be planted. He wouldn't take it with bean and put it in a jar and keep it. There's no purpose left. The peak purpose of this beast is to be planted and bring forth a whole bunch. That's what the purpose is. And God wants us to be planted and to bring forth fruit. That's what He wants for you and wants for me as a Christian. And so we need to ask ourselves, are we doing this? Turn into Ephesians again, chapter 3, and verse 7. And there we read, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Now we're going on. It takes power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all men, now look at that all, make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. And the people of this world will never see that. What was seen in the Apostle Paul, they'll never see that in you, and they'll never see that in me unless we fall into the ground. Unless we fall into the ground and die into the Word of God. Into this Word of God, which is so wonderful for you and for me. In 1 John chapter, and this is a problem, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, and it says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? You say you love your brother, and you don't want him to see Christ in you, the Bible is saying you don't love your brother. You don't want Christ to be seen in you. You say that, you see, look at this. If we say, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? We should love our brothers and sisters and want them to see Christ in us because of the verses before that. We love because he first loved us. We love because God first loved you and first loved me. John 13 and 35. Oh, how wonderful it is. And you've heard me say that so many times here. John 13 and 35 says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now, if you have love to somebody, it has to be shown, doesn't it? You have to show it. And are we showing love one to another? Are we, as I put on that calendar, month after month, that month after month, visit someone, call someone, visit someone, call someone. I put it on the tracker every day. I've also put on there for the month of June, the scriptures that we have in this personal evangelism. If you learn those scriptures, you'll be taking a lot of this course. And I still invite you to come on Thursday evening. We're still only in the middle of the second chapter. We have a long way to go. You need to, I don't have the time. Okay? You don't have the time? Then you just abide alone. It's for witnessing. The Lord Jesus said, ye shall be my witnesses. You want a place where your children are going to be able to hear the true word of God if the Lord doesn't come back? Do we want that? Do we desire that? So, we need to have our spiritual garden growing. And you know what it takes to make this seed when it gets into the ground? There's two things that it has to have to grow. Number one is what? Water. The water, the word of God. Number two is light. Without water and light, that seed can't grow. Without water and light of the word of God, a Christian cannot grow. They're a Christian, yes, but they cannot grow. And the problem is that many of these decide, well, I won't abide alone, but then there's no cultivation of this, and it withers. And it withers because of some selfish reason of our own. We have not been willing to give up the desire for money, the desire for fame, or the desire for luscious things, clothing and cars and homes. All these things. But the Lord Jesus Christ says that he must be first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Bring forth fruit. That was the if you read in Timothy, that's the way that it is. One gets another, another gets one, and it just multiplies. I think I was reading in here or somewhere that if 100 people, I think it was 100 people, would win one person in, I think in 10 years, you'd have 1.5 billion people. If that person wins another and another, you'd have 1.5 billion people won to the Lord. That's a lot of beans, isn't it? That's a lot of Christians. But there has to be a lot of seed being willing to be planted, being willing to be broken, being willing to be watered, being willing to be have the light of the Word of God put upon it. But abiding alone is a hindrance to prayer. There's no power in prayer. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 44, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us to pray for those who despitefully use it. You can't do that if you're just abiding alone. Your prayer will just get about as far from here to the ceiling and bounce right back. And then we're told also in James chapter 5 and verse 16, we're to confess our faults one to another. Pray for one another. We don't want to confess our faults one to another. I'm not abiding alone. I'm right here. But where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? We don't want to listen to what God has for us. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, and men, if you're not treating your wife right, that's a hindrance to your prayer, and they too will only go to the ceiling and bounce right back. So this is something that we need to see, is that we need to die to self. George needs to die to George. Whatever your name is, you need to die to that and realize that that old fleshly part of me, that old soulish part of me, is a hindrance to that seed dropping into the ground and growing and exploding into the fruit that God wants it to be. And the thing that we need to realize is that we're naked before God. How many of us could fall prostrate before God this morning and tell Him that we desire for Him to be first? In all things. Not just some. Not just when it's convenient, but in all things. Lord, I'm willing to be planted. Lord, I'm willing to die, to fall into the ground and die that I can bring forth fruit. That's the reason perhaps you see in the great evangelists and great teachers and people like that, you see that in their lives because they're willing. But you're naked before God and God's eyes are not covered. He can see right into that seed, into that bean. And we ask Him, are you and I naked before Him in soul things? He knows. Just go back to Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. He knows. Those who live in the light prostrate themselves before Him. Look at Romans. I don't think I have that on your sheet. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 9. Maybe I do. I'll read it for you. Now listen. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now listen, this is a Christian. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and what? You want peace? It's life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It doesn't want to fall into the ground and produce, and that's what the seed is for. It's an incorruptible seed, and God wants it to grow into incorruptible seed. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You say, I don't understand that. Get into your Bible. Read it. Fleshly things, fleshly appetites. Now listen, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of this. Listen, if the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in you, you're not even here. You're unsaved. You need to at least get here. Because unless you get here, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. You must be born again. But after you're born again, there's a responsibility. This is a problem when people are led to the Lord. They're just led to the Lord and say, now you're okay. That is not right. They're saved, but they are not okay. They need to grow. And that's what the Word of God is, that you may grow thereby. And you can't grow without light. You can't grow without water. So, listen, don't try to be an imitation. God finds those out.
And Mr. Brown was saying last week, and
I knew this from working in the bank. When you get the feel of a real bill, you know what the feel of a fake is. You get the feel of a real $20 bill, and you can hold it up and look at it, and it'll have little lines of silk in it. Did you know? That's how you can tell if a $20 bill is good. You can just take one out, and you can look in here, and you can feel it after so long a time. If you hold it up to the light, you can see little bits of silk. You get a fake one, there's no silk in it. There's no holy spirit in the one that is not born again. You can see it.
When the eye is trained, you can see that. And the great lie detector is God. God knows, and there's no use to try to be an imitation before Him. Maybe you've been an imitation for 1 year, 20 years, 30 years, but God knows. And God wants us to come to Him, to look to Him. And you will never be seen until, in Proverbs, I don't know this one here, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 23, look there in closing this morning. Proverbs 13 and 23. Now listen. Much food in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. Now listen, what that is saying, it's saying here that good ground, but poor planting, will never bring forth crops. Good ground, but poor planting, will never bring forth crops.